Continuing to pocket watch here, and the Suns doing a pre-Keon Ellis Kings impression, which I guess I can't say that because the Kings did lose to the Wizards with Keon starting.
That's right.
But the Suns, that was a long time ago. The Suns lose to the Wembanyama-less Spurs last night, and that's just bad.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, and it was they lost on a Sohan.
Yeah.
Three or buzzer beater to end the game. That is just rough. And they had their whole big three. And then in that game, insult to injury, pun intended, Bradley Beal goes down and Nurkic goes down. I don't know how serious, but they were at least out of the game for a portion of it.
Yeah.
You can't draw that up any worse
if
you are Club Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns. And they do not play tonight. Only a four-game slate tonight. The Lakers are at the Bucks, but LeBron is not playing.
Nope.
I believe I saw, obviously, Mavericks at Kings. You have another big one. And we're going to talk about the four seed right now. Thunder at Pelicans.
That's
okay?
huge.
Thunder at Pelicans. That is huge. And then you have Warriors at Heat. And the Warriors are just spiraling right now. They're in a terrible spot. They are a half game ahead of the Rockets, and I believe if they lose, they would be tied. I don't know what the season series is, but if they're only a half game up, they would be tied with the Rockets, and the Rockets would be knocking on the door to get into the play-in, which, dare I say, Chris, isn't great for the Kings. That's why another reason why the Kings need to stay far, far away from the play-in, because I don't want to see the Rockets at all.
No, agreed.
At all.
Pelicans are on the, or I'm sorry, the Rockets are on the do not fly list with the Pelicans, 100% for the Kings. They cannot face those two teams. I know, you know, the Rockets, maybe you feel like the Kings have a better chance at, but, you know, you're 0-8 combined against those two teams. You just want to avoid them if possible. And, you know, I know Draymond says he's not worried about the Rockets, but, man, they're playing the best basketball of anybody in
the
NBA.
Nine straight.
They have won nine in a row, and that's without Alperen Şengün here.
I forgot about that.
Which is crazy. I mean, yeah, they're playing their best basketball without arguably their best player right now. So, I'm sorry, Draymond, but you should, I'm actually not sorry, Draymond. You should definitely be concerned about the Rockets because they're right on your tail. That's a young team that is actually playing for something. They're hungry. They haven't been in a position like that in years. I mean, really since the Warriors were the team that took them out of it, they are right there. And, it feels like Golden State, as the Rockets are definitely on an upward trajectory, definitely feels like the Warriors are losing about as much steam as possible. And, you know, I don't know how much longer Steph Curry can try and keep this boat afloat right now.
And as far as the Heat, you got to go to Miami.
Tough.
And I don't know how much I trust.
Dallas games too.
I don't know how much I trust Draymond in Miami. He's going to be promoting his podcast somewhere. You got to go to Miami. And Miami is a game behind Chris's favorite team,
That's
the Pacers.
Right. Right.
Okay. So Miami is trying to get out of the play-in themselves.
Yep.
So it's not as if Miami doesn't need this game. Miami really needs this game.
Yep.
So this is scary hours for the Warriors to not just, and it feels like we're talking about the Mavericks again as far as barely scraping into the play-in or just scrapping it. I know there's some Warrior fans out there that just want there to be no illusion that this thing can continue going.
Yeah.
Just lose, be done with it, and scrap it.
I actually kind of understand that thought process too. Like, I probably wouldn't root for it if I were a fan, of course, because you want to see your team do well. But, like, in terms of creating a sense of urgency, especially with how much they're spending with that team, it kind of does feel like the better move in the long run for them, in the same way that it was with the Mavericks, might be to not make the play-in and have to face those tough decisions and at least have some justification for it. Because I can already see if the Warriors make the play-in as the 10 seed, maybe they win the first game, maybe they lose a close one to get into the playoffs, they're going to convince themselves, hey, man, we were right there. This was a season from hell. Clay's figured it out. He's going to be coming off the bench now. Kuminga's going to be another year better. Let's just run this thing back.
Mm-mm.
Hey, as somebody who doesn't root for the Warriors, go ahead. Y'all have fun with that. But thinking about it from a team perspective, it's probably a lot better that they move on from Klay. Maybe you start to explore Draymond things. Maybe you look to finally move off Wiggins. I think that there's a lot better chance of all of those things happening. Maybe even moving on from Steve Kerr if they don't make the playoffs. I just think that that team, this is what every team that is a dynasty, they're going to run that thing till the wheels fall off.
The wheels have fallen off.
It feels like they've fallen off, right?
They're falling.
They got the spare on there right now.
Yeah, like they're donut. You've driven the donut too far.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you drive the donut too far, you are in grave danger. Yes. You are in grave danger. The Kings are in a little bit of danger, but they can stay out of it if they take care of business throughout the rest of the week. The Kings are two games back of the Pelicans and the Clippers, the soft
man.
Clippers and the Pelicans that are missing Brandon Ingram. And here you go, Chris. Have to have the conversation.
Yep.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, and we've done this before, but it is what it is, right? The Pelicans could easily lose to the Thunder, who are trying to catch the Nuggets for the one seed. They're one game back of the Nuggets for that one seed. The problem is you don't want to be in the play-in. And as much as I'm joking, the Clippers, because Ty Lue called them soft in a press conference. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown just never does stuff, by the way, like that.
Not
in pressers.
Not calling out his team like that.
Not like that. My problem is you're now messing around with that 4-5 of the Pelicans, the Clippers, and the Kings.
That's right.
Do you want to face the Pelicans in a 7-game series?
Not especially.
Do you want to face the Clippers in a 7-game series?
Not if we can play another team, no.
So the problem is, can you just stay
suffering
in the
from
six?
Success.
Just stay in the six.
Just like Drake, man. Just stay in the six.
Just stay in the six. Because it does you no good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You get to the four, and unless one of the top three teams blow it, you're only going to have home court advantage for one series anyway. So if you're asking, hey, would you rather a six seed and face the Timberwolves or the Thunder? I don't think the Nuggets are going to drop back to the three.
I don't think so.
But would you rather face the Timberwolves or the Thunder as a six seed, or would you rather face the Pelicans or the Clippers as a 4 or 5 seed? Might sound crazy.
I know.
But if you follow the Kings, it's a pretty easy answer. They have beat the Clippers. I think the Clippers were missing somebody.
Yes, yeah, they did beat the Clippers.
But I think the Clippers were missing one of their big three, maybe Paul George.
Yeah.
They didn't beat the Clippers full strength. And the Pelicans, I mean, that goes without saying. So they haven't beaten either of these teams at full strength. They haven't beaten the Pelicans at all.
Period.
They haven't beat the Clippers at full strength. In the first two games against the Clippers, they got blasted.
Yeah.
They have one more game against the Clippers regardless.
And the Pelicans.
Do we have to?
Well, here's the weird thing is it might actually be in the Kings' favor, because if you do win both games against Dallas, and like you said, maybe OKC does the Kings a favor and beats the Pelicans today, well, the Kings are then in a position where you could realistically leapfrog both of those teams and end up in the 4 seed. The fact that after that, I mean, after these two Dallas games, you have the Clippers on April 2nd. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that that game is for the 5th seed.
Yeah.
Granted, the Clippers would have the tiebreaker advantage in that case, but then we're also talking about if the Kings are going to be creeping up on the Clippers, not only are we talking about them potentially sneaking into the 4 or 5 seed, not that it matters at all, but somehow we're back to the Kings might win the division still. Mm-hmm. As pointless as that is, it's just crazy that that's still in the cards. And then, you have the Pelicans on April 11th. If the Kings can keep it close after that rough, rough road trip of the Knicks, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, they come home, they play the Pelicans with that'll be three games left before that game is played. You've got a chance here at the end of the season to somehow sneak into the top five. It'll be interesting to see if they can do it. But, man, it's just nuts that they're even in a position, even still, where they can put themselves in that top four seed. It's crazy, but crazier things have happened. I do think that there still is a chance. It's just not likely.
It's not likely. Do you think five is realistic? Four is the one that you're thinking.
Yeah. Four feels like you would need, I mean, because you would literally need both of those teams to fall out of it. And that's the part where, you know, I believe that maybe the Kings can play well enough to put themselves in that situation. But then to ask both of those teams to collapse this late in the season.
Because the Mavs are going to keep winning.
Yeah, the Mavs are going to keep
winning. Even if the Mavs lose both this week, their schedule is pretty soft, just like the Clippers.
Yeah, they've got, after these two Kings games, Dallas has at Houston, at Golden State, and then home for Atlanta, Golden State, Houston, at Charlotte, at Miami, versus Detroit, versus OKC. So it really is about half their games now are really, really easy opponents. And then some of those, and OKC is the last game of the season. I'd imagine OKC will probably be wrapped up by then. So realistically, their hard games are the Miami Heat and then two games against the Warriors and two games against the Rockets. You know, it's not the easiest schedule. Again, especially with the Rockets and the Warriors both still fighting for things. There is a chance that Dallas does slip up on some of those nights, but it's just not nearly as tough of a schedule as what the Kings have. So it's kind of tough. But, you know, again, all the Kings really need to do is focus on their own. In a weird way, they still are in control of their own destiny. If they take care of the Mavericks and then, for the most part, finish around 500 the rest of the way, they're going to be in a really good position. And, you know, yeah, it maybe they can surprise some teams. You know, they just beat Philly, they beat Milwaukee. Maybe now they can beat the Celtics. Again, like you said earlier, Celtics might not be playing all their guys at that point in the season. Maybe the Kings get lucky on that front. There's still a possibility, but, you know, it all starts tonight. If the Kings don't get this win tonight, honestly, everything kind of changes when we just look at the grand landscape of everything and how everything can shape up. So it's kind of tough, but I would say in terms of standings watch, in terms of pocket watching, we're not going to get the most clear view of this until after the Kings play both of these games against Dallas.
Yeah, and if they go out and they lose this game tonight, we will not, I don't think we'll utter another word about the four seed.
No, maybe not. That'll be over at that point.
Maybe not the five. I mean, the five, you'd have to get, you talk about Tapatio hot. I mean, you'd have to be in fuego.
You'd have to be in fuego.
To catch the five, which is possible. But we can still have those conversations in a more realistic fashion if the Kings take care of business. And we will discuss how they can do that. Keys to the game up next when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Shout out to Domas. Sabonis was on NBA Today. And he was being celebrated for his streak.
Wow.
54 straight double-doubles. I know.
Wait, that's acknowledgement.
That is acknowledgement.
What?
That is acknowledgement. I know. It's surprising, but
Did they ask him about the Lakers?
Probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably. They asked him what happened against Golden State last season.
Yeah, exactly.
And so shout out to Domas getting a little bit of national love, and it matters. I know it sounds silly, but it does matter, and you know, you got to celebrate these things throughout the course of the season. So good on Domas. But he knows himself. He even said in the locker room, you know, people were saying that he was not really worried about talking about what he accomplished. He really just wants to focus on getting it done against the Mavs and getting back into the playoffs where real narratives change.
That's right.
And where real brands can be created. 916-339-1140. Let's get to David, who wants to be a part of the conversation on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. What's up, David? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. I sure hope the Kings don't have the same mentality as you guys, though. If you're trying to position yourself because of fear of other teams, then you might as well have lost the game already, because you got to play the team in front of you and have the confidence, no matter how many times you lose to them, that you're going to beat them this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I ain't trying to duck nobody.
Yeah, no, I hear you, David. And look, at the end of the day, the Kings don't have the ability to control it, right? They're not going to go out, and thanks for the call, David. They're not going to go out and, well, we do this every year, right? Where some team, did they actually lose?
Right.
Didn't we do this last year?
Yes, last year.
With the Warriors?
The Lakers. The Lakers tried to say they're going to position themselves, they want to position themselves into a spot where they end up playing the Kings in the first round.
Right, right.
Which was ridiculous, because they were not able to do.
Look, Chris and I, as show hosts, have a different mentality than the players.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
The players aren't ducking any smoke. But I will say this. I don't know how confident
that's exactly
the players feel
just walking into game one
against a Pelicans team that they have not beaten.
Yeah.
Now, David, if they go out, and I know, and do we know if Brandon Ingram's done for the season? Is he done for the season?
I don't believe so. I don't think they ruled him out for the year. I think they said it's going to be a couple weeks before reevaluation, but they said it wasn't essentially a guaranteed season-ending injury.
Now, if I think it was a – yeah, they said it was more of a bone bruise versus any actual damage. Now, we don't know how – confident the Kings are against the Pelicans team that they have not been able to beat. I think it is incredibly important for the Kings to beat this Pelicans team. And again, the Kings got to make sure that they hold down the sixth seed.
Yeah.
But in a world where you do raise up the ranks and you're looking at a 4-5 and you have the Pelicans, I think it's incredible. Wouldn't this be the first time in NBA history because of the in-season tournament that you could lose to the same team 5 times in a row?
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you play roulette, you got to think red or black. Something's got to switch. But trust me, I've seen black hit 7 times in a row.
Yeah.
You don't believe it, but it will.
Yeah.
Now, how I feel, how Chris feels versus how the players feel, you're completely right, David. You cannot be in a locker room like that feel like you're worried about
a
team.
You can't say, hey, we should actually kind of throw today.
Exactly, so we can drop down. But as far as the fans are concerned, I don't know how confident the fans might feel against the Pelicans. And from the Clippers' perspective, the Clippers just have a bunch of guys or two guys in particular, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that as much as we love Keon Ellis defensively, Keegan can only guard one of them. I don't know who, and you got to put Harrison Barnes on Kawhi or Paul George. So it's not a great matchup, and the Kings would have to deal with that. But yes, the players cannot have that mindset.
Of course not.
You can disagree with that mindset as well. But I don't want to see the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And maybe my tone would change if the Kings go out and they beat the brakes off the Pelicans in this last matchup when it comes up. And I don't want to see the Pelicans because of that. I don't really want to see the Clippers just because we've seen the really good Clippers. They're not playing well right now, but that really good version of the Clippers, that's why they're thrown in for the 5th highest odds to win the title every single year. Because if they put it together, they could roll. But no, I highly doubt, I vehemently doubt that the Kings are ducking anybody. But if you're talking to me, David, I'd prefer not to see the Pelicans.
And I wouldn't even say that it's necessarily, I mean, maybe from the Pelicans side of things, maybe it is a fear. But like, it's honestly not even necessarily I'm afraid of those teams, more of I would acknowledge that there's teams that are much better matchups. And if you're already going to be the underdog going into the series, you need as many things working for you as possible. Mm-hmm. You're already not going to have home court advantage. You're already not the higher seed, so you didn't have the better season. You need as many things working in your favor as possible. And if the Kings go against a Denver or a Clippers in the playoffs, they're not going to have the experience advantage. There's so many other teams that the Kings just aren't factually in a better position to win the series if they go against an OKC or against a Minnesota, or maybe even, you know, even though we are talking about how the Kings haven't played well against the Pelicans don't have a ton of experience either. As a matter of fact, they probably have more experience in blowing these kind of things than actually playing in them. So, you know, in a weird way, I just think that it's not even necessarily a fear thing. It's just, hey, we're trying to set ourselves up in the best possible situation so that we can keep this thing going and have as good of a season as possible.
Well, I can guarantee you this, and because I saw this when the Lakers lost to the Kings in those 1 week and then the next week. It's the same way as far as matchups. The Lakers would straight up rather face the Thunder than the Kings. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
The Lakers want nothing to do with the Kings.
Yep. They've seen that movie. They know how that movie ends.
And maybe it's less about the Lakers or the Laker fan base or Laker media. All I know is they don't want to see the Kings because the Kings have owned the Lakers. The Lakers never beat the Kings this season.
Yeah, they don't get
close. It's the same idea. If it was true duck and smoke, then you wouldn't want to see the top seeds.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you would say, well, I don't want to see Minnesota, or I don't want to see the right. Nuggets or those teams at the top. This is a specific matchup situation
yeah.
that we have watched throughout the course of the season.
Right.
It's one thing when you don't play well.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing when we talk a lot about cooking and ingredients. If it seems like the ingredients to beat
yes.
the Pelicans, the Kings just don't seem to have it this season.
No answer.
And we did the same thing with the Lakers.
Sure.
When we were sitting here with the roundtable, which we'll be back tomorrow, with Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, when Brendan said, I think AD's going to go off tonight.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what makes you feel like that? Because it's the same setup it's
yep.
been. That is when the confidence starts to break. Where it's, and I asked the same thing. What do you think the Lakers can do to try to win? And you know what the Lakers did? Absolutely nothing. They did
different.
The same
yep.
thing they always do because that's who they are.
Yes.
I don't know if there are enough changes that the Kings can make to
yeah.
beat the Pelicans four times
yep.
after they have not beat them
not
once.
Even close.
And they haven't been close.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But before you can even get to that, you got to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to win on Friday. And the Kings have beat the Mavericks. So this is
twice.
So this is where the Kings can really put their pedal to the metal
yep.
and start the ascension.
Yep.
And then we can have the conversation. And I'll tell you this one more before we get out of here. If the Kings did face the Pelicans, you better believe I would find a way to talk myself and the listeners
yes.
and Chris Watkins
yes.
into somehow the Kings having a chance against the Pelicans, even if they lose to them in, what is it, next week or in a
yeah,
couple weeks?
Couple weeks.
Styles and Watkins, when we return, we continue the conversation and we discuss the keys to the game to beat those Mavericks from Dallas. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
The Kings, I don't want to see those Kings in the playoffs. I don't want to see them in the play-in tournament. I don't want to see them at the AAU tournament. I don't want to see them at the Blacktop. I don't want to see the Kings no mm-hmm. more this year. The rest of the year, I hope we don't see the Kings.
916-339-1140. What are your keys to the game? Chris and I know what ours are, but what are your keys to the game for the Kings to win the first of this two-game miniseries to decide if they'll have the tiebreaker against the Mavericks? Well, they can get the tiebreaker tonight, but to then get two more on y'all.
That's right.
And to add another game on top of that to distance themselves from the Mavericks as they will start a pretty tough stretch, the Kings will, after this. It's just not really going to stop. They get a little break against the Jazz. That's on Sunday. Little Sunday fun day action.
Right.
I feel like the Kings haven't played well on Sundays.
No, it's so weird.
I just feel
weird,
like that.
Yeah, those like, and especially, I don't know if that one's like an earlier tip.
It's
too.
A 6 p.m.er.
It throws everything off. It just throws everything off.
Yeah, and so, and the Jazz, by the way, they ended up losing to the Mavericks by 10 last night,
yeah.
but they gave them a good effort.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't roll over. It is in Sacramento, so the Kings have that going for them. After that, they have one more game at home that is against the Clippers. The Clippers will come to Sacramento April 2nd. And then, yes, Chris and I have talked about it over and over again. Then they head back east for a very poorly timed East Coast trip. But after that is when they head to New York. They head to the Garden, which is now a TNT game. It is now a national televised game that's on a Thursday, April 4th. After that, they head to Boston, who we can all hope has already wrapped up the first seed in the East. Maybe a couple guys don't play. That's April 5th. And then they take on the Nets, which is personally scaring Chris a lot because
yeah.
that's the game Trap you could
game.
Overlook. And then after that, they head to OKC.
Mm. That is just, it's scary, man. It's just, it's not an easy stretch. I mean, with how the Kings have been playing here, you have to feel good about their chances against a lot of those teams. But at the same time, you know, yeah, Boston has just been a thorn in their side. OKC might still be battling for position there. And then, yeah, you know, you got the Clippers, the Knicks. It is just a lot of high-pressure games that the Kings have to play here. And while, yes, they did get a taste of it last year in the playoffs, this is a long time to have this much pressure on you and then still have to deliver in the playoffs. Hopefully these guys are up for it, but you know, we've said it before, they're earning whatever spot they get. They are going to earn here, whether it be, you know, for the worse or for the better. I think the Kings will be in exactly the position that they deserve to be in because of their play. Man, they have some really, really tough opponents, but they do have a lot of those games at home. They only have four more road games, and it's that one road trip that they have. So, you know, you do have a lot of, or some things I should say, working in your favor. It's about taking advantage of them, man, because that's what the playoffs is about. Again, you have home court advantage. You've got to win games at home, especially against good opponents. And, you know, they've got two against Dallas. They've got a game against the Clippers and the Pelicans and the Suns all at home. You could argue you just take care of your home games. You should be sitting pretty. And then, of course, take care of that Brooklyn game as well. That should be really all you need. But it's never that easy. It's never that cut and dry. I'm sure the Kings are going to lose games that are going to have us upset, and I'm sure they're going to win games that might surprise us as well. So who knows what the rest of the season has in store. But all I do know is that, man, this thing is going to be truly a sprint to the end of the season. The Kings have, just on that road trip, that's four games in five days. There's going to be so many games. Just I know we're going to have this Tuesday to Friday break, but truly after that, you don't go more than 2 days without seeing the Kings on the floor. So it's going to be crazy just how many games are going to be played game after game. And then we've talked about it all season long, but especially today, you really can't dwell or celebrate any night because it's just right back to the drawing board the very next day and on to the next opponent. So it's going to be an interesting test, but I'm glad that they've at least put themselves, for this moment, heading into it, they're at least sitting at the top of that 6-7-8.
We are getting to the keys of the game, but as we do that, I'm trying to figure out, we have Woj bombs.
Oh, no.
Chris, but I'm like trying to figure out a Frankie Cardicelli Bombo. This is coming out now. That. The Dallas Mavericks have listed Luka Doncic as questionable for tonight's game.
Ducking smoke.
Versus the Sacramento Kings due to left Achilles soreness.
Mm.
Don't like that if you're a Mavs fan. I would assume this has probably been going on. I don't think they just pop up out of nowhere. He probably plays. Looking at the injury report.
Let me see if he's
Sasha still questionable. Sasha's still questionable. Luka's actually questionable. Yes, with that left Achilles. That's really the main one.
Interesting.
And yeah, no other real surprises there.
I'm trying to see if he's had a history of this. I'm not seeing any history of Luka having Achilles injuries. I've seen a couple ankle injuries in here. So maybe it's something that he picked up last night. In Utah. That'll be interesting, man. I mean, yeah, if it is good for Dallas that he's going to have that Wednesday, Thursday break in between these games, but having your Achilles mess up at this point in the season, I mean, Alan, I don't want to get towards sore subjects here.
It
I know it's feeling
right
a lot
it
better
is,
these
it is sore
days,
right
but
now, yes.
You just don't, you know, I mean, a lot of Achilles injuries are due to injury management. If you're putting too much pressure on your body, the Achilles is going to be one of the first things to go. And it's a little bit concerning. A dude who's leading the NBA and has led the NBA in usage percentage the past couple years, for him to have an injury that really does really not do well with just impact, it's not great. It's not great.
And I don't know if these are mind games or whatever it is. I mean, if you are saying someone's questionable, you're not seeing anything prior to tonight. So he clearly played the whole game,
right,
or you didn't leave early. And now you're coming off a back-to-back. I don't see how you play.
I that's what I'm wondering too, especially with an Achilles. Again, like, that's a pretty serious thing. I don't know if it's just soreness or what. But that's a pretty serious thing to be playing less than 24 hours in a game where you're going to be needed a lot. Again, I'm expecting a lot of Kyrie and Luka tonight. And if Luka's not going to be as regardless, even even if he does play, what this is saying, if I'm the Kings, I'm reading this as Luka's not 100%. You will already attack that man defensively on any given night. If I know his Achilles is messed up, Allen, I am literally going at him the entire first quarter. I was looking at the stats from yesterday, and you can look at the stats from every night. Utah went at Luka 17 times yesterday. They had a field goal attempt on Luka. The Kings need to be in the 20-plus range, just attacking, getting him into switches, making him run as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And really, honestly, I mean, it's the game. Making him test that Achilles as much as he's willing to go.
The game is the game.
It is.
I mean, it's
especially
not,
at this point.
What do you want us to do if he's playing?
He's getting attacked.
My kid's got to eat.
Yeah.
You know exactly. What I mean? If you are on the floor, I've seen dudes do this in pickup with a 65-year-old man. Yes, you know what I mean? Yes. And they'll look me dead in the face and say, Allen, if he's trying to attack him then.
Back him down.
I'm thinking, man, I'm not really trying to. Man, why don't you go at him? You see this 10-game wait? You better stop playing around.
Nah.
That's what it has to be. So, yeah, that literally just came out.
Just dropped.
About 3 to 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, 3 minutes ago.
And you have Sasha Vezenkov still questionable as well. I don't know what in the world is going on there.
No clue. Yeah, I would have said probably a week ago that he was going to play. So I don't know what the holdup is there. I don't know if it's reconditioning, and that's maybe the case. But again, it does bring up the point of, even if Sasha is active, does that mean he's going to play? Does that mean that he's just automatically inserted into the rotation? I mean, at this point, I don't think so, but we'll just have to see. And Sasha's questionable. I got the rest of the injury report here. Trey Lyles is out, of course. Kevin Huerter's out. Jordan Ford's on two-way. On the Mavs side, you have Luka questionable. You have Josh Green out with a right ankle sprain. You also have Maxi Kleba as questionable as well with a right knee soreness. That is one of Dallas's few just straight-up shooters on their team, and we were talking about how they've struggled from the perimeter here recently. So, you know, those are definitely, from the Kings side, those are positives. The fact that those guys are at the very least banged up, I think that those are two guys that you should go after if they're playing tonight.
And I can already tell you what's popping up on the text line.
Lost.
And the sack chat.
Lost. Oh, Luka's
please,
not playing.
Luka,
guaranteed
play.
Loss. Yeah.
Please play, Luka. We need you to
play.
We
need that carrot to be dangled.
Yes, we need you to play, Luka. Maybe there are some mind games there, yeah. but either way, the Kings got to come correct to make sure that they take care of business tonight. When we return, how does this affect Prop Talk? Also, there's a guy who took Prop Talk
too seriously,
a little too personally, and a little too seriously.
Come on, man.
And it's going to cost
him just a segment,
a lot of money. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. So before we get into our Prop Talk and Dog segment, there was someone who decided to. Sometimes you bet on yourself, and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. You know. And
most of the time.
In your work life, in your career, you gotta bet on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In sports, not on yourself, literally, but to do well and to succeed. Well, Jonte Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr., which clearly
he's not sharing the wealth. Man.
Not sharing the wealth at all. Jonte Porter is in hot water, as this is from ESPN, the story. Prop bets involving Porter from games January 26th and March 20th, multiple sources told ESPN. An NBA sports spokesperson told ESPN that the league is looking into them. In the game on January 26th against the Clippers, there was an increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which is, first of all, just random as heck.
Yeah,
so that probably alerted people.
Yeah.
Which for the night were set around 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5. This. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers, which was at 0.5. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury he had suffered 4 days earlier against the Memphis Grizzlies. Porter did not score against the Clippers, but had 3 rebounds and 1 assist, and he did not attempt a three, meaning the under hit on all of his props. The next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening. Wow. Porter played 19 minutes two days later, scored 12 points with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. This gets better.
This ties in.
Hold on.
We have a tie-in.
On March 20th, just last week.
Yes.
Against the Kings, Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting because of what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return. He did not score after attempting one shot and had 2 rebounds.
Offensive rebounds.
Sportsbooks had his over-under set at around 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in NBA. Why do you have to do all this?
He was so bad at it, too.
So bad.
Bruh, keep the information to yourself. Right. Like, was he actually, you know what? Crazy enough, I was reading this article, and there is a tweet here from somebody who says Jonte had a Discord channel where he tells people what to trade and bet on. I have to pay $49.99 to see the premium room, but in that main room, they are discussing things the NBA and Jonte. And people are thanking Jonte for their winnings. And there's pictures of screenshots of Jonte in this. He's and people cooked. Saying, you know, Tay is Jonte
it's
Porter.
Huge.
Lakers. This is insane.
It's huge. Okay, let me borrow your homework and you copy it word for word energy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
of course the teacher's going to realize, wait, number 27 is B, but everybody put C. That's weird.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Here you go. At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on the Porter props in the games in question.
Brother.
A sportsbook industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts upward of $10,000 and $20,000 on Porter unders in the January game against the Clippers. Betting limits on NBA player props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. This quote is outstanding. People were trying to do whatever they could to bet Jonte Porter props, the source said. And then just a few days ago, the same thing. We had a bunch of people trying to bet under for more.
That is the definition of zero finesse also.
Like, zero.
How do you not understand... Like, basic money laundering is, let's not just throw
just watch
all of
Ozark.
The dollars in there.
Watch one episode of Ozark, and you would have been okay, brother.
You could have gotten a room of 10 people in on it. Not that I'm trying to... let's not
allegedly.
Completely
how
plan
you
this.
Would do
allegedly,
this.
Allegedly. The blueprint,
yes. Sprinkle
yes.
allegedly, but you should, like, get 10 people and spread the money out there so it doesn't raise any, like, red flags, but... You know, or you can just put it in a forum and have as many people as possible throw their money in there and have people spend tens of thousands of dollars trying to bet on your... And, like, the thing is, it's Jonte Porter. Like, this is like if all of Sacramento was like, let's just bet on Keon Ellis
that's exactly
over
what
steals.
It is.
Like, nobody's thinking
that's
about
exactly
putting Jonte Porter on their prize picks.
Wait,
so
that was
course.
Literally my prop yesterday. Oh, with some respect.
Well, and the other thing is, too, you got to throw off the scent.
Yes.
You should have had some
saying.
People eat it and bet his over, right?
Yep.
Just to throw. Like,
yep.
I mean, does no one watch Law and Order? What is happening? Where is Benson when you need her?
This is ridiculous.
Here to close.
It only took him a week to get caught, which is how bad
you got
it was.
Yeah. Immediately. Porter, the brother of Denver Nuggets star Michael Porter Jr., is on a two-way contract with the Raptors, earning $415,000. $415,000
yes,
this season.
Yeah.
$400K.
Not enough. Not enough, apparently.
$400K. Not enough.
That's insane.
You're done now.
You know, yeah. And this is kind of, you know, to bring it to a serious note, like this is that slippery slope that everybody talked about where, you know, this was bound to happen almost in a weird way. And I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen in more than just this sport. I mean, basketball is probably one of the easier sports to do it in, but think about how easy, you know, people barely get hits in baseball. Imagine how easy it would be and how little of a red flag it would be if somebody just goes 0-4 on
right,
a given night.
Right.
You know?
And baseball, you're up and down. You're in AAA. You're in the majors. I might need to get a little,
you know, a little action,
a
yeah,
little
yeah, yeah.
separate
you know,
action
while I'm
on the
up
side.
In the majors. You know, maximize my earning potential.
I'm
you know,
not, I got the Discord you from know, John. Yeah,
Prize Picks doesn't have the River Cats on there.
There you,
know?
You go. There you go. And with that being
yeah,
said,
with that said,
prop talk. Let's get it.
Let's do it. Nobody get in trouble. Okay.
Nobody get in trouble.
That's 1-800 gambler.
Yeah, 1-800 gambler.
All the time.
Please. All right. Yeah. Who wants to start here? I'll start. You know what? I'll start.
Oh, he's feeling it.
Yeah, I've got one lined up here. I was doing all the numbers earlier about Domantas Sabonis and how he dominates Daniel Gafford, averaging 12 rebounds a game against games against Gafford. But Sabonis has been even better than that just this season. Looking at Sabonis' rebound average, I mean, which is just absurd. I mean, looking at his season stats is insane. Just under 20 points, just over 13.5 rebounds, just under 8.5 assists. I'm going to go the over on defensive rebounds tonight. I'm going to go over 11. The number's set at 11, so give me 12 Sabonis defensive rebounds.
Money.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't get that last night.
He did not. No,
I was told.
Yeah.
So I was told.
Oh, yeah.
He did not get that last night. Simone?
I'm going to be very straightforward as I kind of work on some things as we get ready for the drive, guys.
That's right.
Live from downtown Sacramento.
That's
Give me, I'm going to go back to my old friend, Mr. Monk.
Ooh.
Just a straightforward over 16.5.
Love it.
I like that. He's got to
he's got to heat back up
at some point.
Yeah.
He has been, been great from the three-point range, but that will end tonight as Simone has given him the good juju.
That's right. Good
All right. I'm the last one.
Okay.
I'm definitely playing with a couple different ideas here. And there are a couple that always try to get me. I think you said one, Chris.
Yeah.
And you talk about how he's been figuring some things out. De'Aaron Fox. How about this one that you basically led me to? I don't really feel strongly about any of them. De'Aaron Fox, 8 three-pointers attempted.
Whoa.
Under.
Okay. There we go.
Under. He's getting to the rack. He's doing some different things. Under.
Wow.
8 three-pointers.
Did you hear that on a Discord somewhere?
Is it too random?
Just be honest.
I did not hear it on a Discord.
That's awful specific. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, because the points.
Okay, you don't have
Amen.
Well, no, hold on here. Yeah. All right. It's either that or I like the 5.5 assists for De'Aaron.
I like that number too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either one works.
Well, you're perfect. You're perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Just wanted to make sure I'm not exposing anyone's big master plan.
Get off Discord. It's time. Dog segment.
Where the barks.
Let's get it.
On a night like tonight, where it's a big game, I look no other way than in the direction of the big game man himself, Mr. Fourth Quarter De'Aaron Fox. I'm going De'Aaron for our dog of today against the Dallas Mavericks. He kills the Mavericks for his career.
Mm-hmm. Easy enough.
Easy enough.
I will go next, and I'm going to ride with Malik Monk.
Ooh.
I think that tonight's the night that he breaks out of his really just a shooting a three slump.
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing poorly.
No.
But he had the donut out there in Orlando, 0 for 0 points that he had. And then last night, he was getting to the rack, but he was, I mean, Chris, there were some wide open threes
that
he wasn't getting close.
No.
So I think he'll be in the lab and he will figure it out tonight. Malik Monk, my dog.
I'm also just going to be short, sweet, and simple.
Love it.
I'm going to be adopting that big dog. Bring him here to me. No, Domantas Sabonis.
The biggest dog.
There you go.
We got the biggest dog.
So we got Sabonis, Fox, Monk. That's how you know
big
it's an
three.
Important game.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how you know it's a big game. We're not messing around today. Let's get to the text line in the sec chat. Dogs. Manny too legit. Fox is my dog for tonight. Brandon Deitzman says Malik Monk is my dog for tonight. Curtis Hicks off night is my dog. All right, we see that as well from the 916. Keon is my dog tonight. Also, from the 916. Another Davion is my dog tonight. And last but not least, from the 209, they have Sabonis as their dog tonight. Beach Hut Deli, you don't want to miss it. Go say hello if you can.
Right outside
or
Noco.
Listen to them on these here airwaves. I might stop by.
Oh, yeah.
I might stop by and say hello. So maybe we'll run into each other.
Yeah.
Let's do some pictures. Let's have a good time. Chris Watkins, he might be there too. Go ahead and listen to the Drive Guys coming up next. And if you're in the area, go check them out at the Beach Hut Deli. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the back-to-back Dallas Beam.